You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Sometimes we miss the obvious. Last June, I was in Lakefield, Minnesota, to preach in an afternoon service for Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Since I didn't have to preach in the morning, I sat with other parishioners and heard a fine sermon by Pastor Kenneth Klaus. He said something in that sermon that set me to thinking. Later, over dinner in the parsonage, I brought up my thoughts. "Ken," I said, "your sermon set me to thinking. I can't think of a funeral that Jesus attended that he didn't disrupt." Well, Pastor Klaus smiled, got up from his chair, and left the room for a moment. When he returned, he gave me a thank you card. It was the thank you card mailed out after his father's funeral. "Read this," he said. Here's part of what the thank you card said. "When I was looking for a text to preach upon for my father's funeral, I went to Jesus to see what he said when someone died. I was surprised that Jesus never preached a funeral sermon. He ruined every funeral that he came upon. The young man of Nain was given back to his mother, Jairus' daughter was raised from her sleep, and Lazarus came forth." Sometimes we miss the obvious. I had missed it. Pastor Klaus had too. What a surprise it was for us to discover that Jesus ruined every funeral he came upon. This is a Lord who does not want to bury. He wants to give you the surprise of life. Consider the funerals that Jesus ruined. There is the amazing story of the young man of Nain. St. Luke tells the story in his 7th chapter. Jesus went to a town called Nain. As he came near the gate of the town, a dead man was carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt sorry for her. "Stop crying," he told her. He went up to the open coffin and touched it, and the men who were carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I tell you, wake up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him to his mother. They were all overawed and praised God. They said, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has come to help his people." And this report about Jesus spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding region. They were overawed, and they praised God. I'm not the only one surprised by the life God wants to give through Jesus. This is a Lord who does not want to bury. St. Luke tells another story, the raising of Jairus' daughter. It's another funeral that Jesus ruined. Luke chapter 8 says, "Someone came from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. 'Your daughter is dead,' he said. 'Don't trouble the teacher anymore.' When Jesus heard this, he told the synagogue leader, 'Stop being afraid. Only believe, and she will get well.' When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the children's father and mother. And they were all weeping and mourning for her. He said, 'Do not go on weeping. She's not dead. She is sleeping.' They laughed at him because they knew she had died. He took her hand and called, 'Girl, get up.' Her spirit returned, and she got up immediately. Jesus ordered that she be given something to eat, and her parents were amazed. They all laughed at Jesus. He, however, said to Jairus, 'Stop being afraid, only believe.' To everyone's amazement, Jesus ruined another funeral. This is a Lord who does not want to bury. At another time, Jesus received word that his friend Lazarus was near death. Instead of hurrying off for one last visit with his dying friend, the normal thing to do, Jesus stayed put for 2 days. He didn't go to Lazarus' deathbed. The disciples were perplexed. "Why aren't you going?" they wondered. Jesus said, "This sickness is not meant to cause death, but to show the glory of God, in order that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Finally, Jesus did go. When he eventually arrived, Lazarus had been buried for 4 days. St. John tells us what happened. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha told Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now I know God will give you anything you ask him." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The person who believes in me will live, even if he dies. Yes, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Martha then accompanied Jesus to the tomb. There Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I knew that you always hear me, but I spoke so the people standing around me will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet and hands wrapped in bandages and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Another funeral, ruined by this Lord who did not want to bury anyone. This same Lord wants to surprise you as you consider your death. Jesus wants to disrupt your funeral too. Many people do not talk freely about their own death. I've dealt with more than a few people who were approaching death but were hesitant to talk about it. Death seems to be the end. The end of pleasant friendships, the end of family, the end of work and recreation, the end of life. Death is often accompanied by physical pain. Some people just sleep away, but many experience suffering they've never been through before. Fear is often present at the deathbed. Fear of that physical suffering. Fear of the unknown. Fear of eternity. No wonder then that so many people are reluctant to talk about their death. Death is an enemy. It intimidates many of us into silence. God never intended that death should be a part of the good world he created. He had warned Adam and Eve that death was possible, and he wanted them to avoid it. He told them in paradise that they could eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. No, God did not intend for people to die. But when people sinned, death did come into the world. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, "Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. So death also spread to all people, since all sinned." Since we all are sinners, since we all would rather choose our own destiny and make our own plans, since we all would rather follow our own desires than submit to God's will, since we are indeed sinners, we die. Every one of us. I will. You will. So what are you doing about your death? Has this enemy intimidated you into silence? Have you given it thought? Have you made your will? Have you purchased a cemetery lot? Have you prearranged your funeral? Surprise! As great an enemy as death is, you don't have to be silent and avoid the topic of your own death. The arrangements you make need not be arrangements for the final and inevitable end. No, not if you put your faith and hope in the Lord who would not bury. God never intended death for us. But when our sins brought death into the world, God sent Jesus Christ into this world of death to give us the surprise of His life. That's a surprise I'm not reluctant to talk about. The surprise of life in Jesus Christ is something I want you to talk about too. There was one time that Jesus seemed to deviate from His habit of ruining funerals. There was one funeral where He seemed to be totally helpless, and that was His own funeral. His years of preaching and teaching, healing the sick and raising the dead, had endeared Him to the common people, but had made Him the enemy of people who refused to humble themselves before God. These enemies conspired and had Jesus executed upon the cross. When Jesus had died, His friends took His limp body down from the cross and laid it in a tomb. This seemed to be the end, not only to Jesus' life, but this seemed to be the very bitter end to all the hopes that He had created. Jesus had claimed to bring life to the world. He once had said, "I tell you the absolute truth. The one who believes in Me has everlasting life." But how can He give life? He's dead. Therefore, His claim must be false. Granted, while He was alive, Jesus raised some people from the dead. But the Old Testament told stories of the prophets raising the dead. What a strange irony. He who had ruined funerals seemed helpless at His own. Jesus' friends were consumed by grief because of His death. You know the empty feeling. Life seems swallowed up by death. But oh, were those disciples in for the surprise of life? They went to the tomb the Sunday after they had buried their Lord. There they met an angel. The angel said, "Why do you look among the dead for Him who is alive? He is not here. He has risen. This Lord was not to be buried forever. He's true to His word." He had told those disciples that He would be rejected by the elders, the ruling priests, and the scribes, be killed, and then rise after 3 days. On Easter, He demonstrated the truth of His word. He didn't do it just for Himself or for the first disciples. He did it especially for you and for me. Our sins have brought death upon us. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is life, not death. But He came into this world, took on a mortal body, and died at the cross to make payment for your sins. The payment He made for your sins by His death was accepted by God. So God raised Jesus to life. The resurrection of Jesus means the surprise of life for people who have feared death. Hebrews chapter 2 says, "Jesus also took on flesh and blood, so that by His death He might take away all the power of him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and thus He might free those who were subjected to slavery all their lives by their fear of death." He who ruined funerals has ruined His own. He wants to surprise you and every mortal human being with the surprise of His life. He wants to disrupt your thoughts of death with the certain promise of eternal life. Surprised by life. He doesn't want you and me to be intimidated and silent before death. That's why Jesus once said something that strikes us as very strange. St. Luke tells us in chapter 9 that Jesus had invited a man to follow Him. That's the same invitation that Jesus is making to you right now through this broadcast. "Follow Me," He says. The man said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and tell about the kingdom of God. Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't have funerals for those who die? Is he saying you shouldn't make plans for your own death? No, not at all. Jesus is saying that the spiritually dead have nothing more in life than final and inevitable death. But Jesus' followers, those who put their faith and hope in him, have more in this life than death. They have a life in his kingdom that has swallowed up death. That is a life to share. Let the dead bury their own dead, he said, but you go and tell about the kingdom of God. John C. Brogard is the author of a tract called The Funeral's Off. Brogard writes, "How would you react if after the death of someone close to you, one of your friends came up and said, 'The funeral's off'? You mean we're not going to have a ceremony? He's just going to be buried?" "No, not that," your friend answers. "It's just that the one you loved isn't dead." Not dead? To say someone dead is not dead is nonsense. It is contrary to everything we know about nature. Even though we might want to believe the impossible news, we would probably be as skeptical as Doubting Thomas. The only thing that might convince us would be seeing our loved one for ourselves. But suppose it were true. Suppose the dead was not dead. What a miracle! The Grim Reaper has never been beaten before. But if it is true, think what that means. Death would be conquered. Can you imagine what that would do to change a person's outlook on life? Life is more than just pushing blood around our old tired blood vessels. It can go beyond the grave. That's what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, "But in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." First fruits. That means others are included too. Jesus promised in John 11, verses 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." No wonder Christians, people who believe the promises of Jesus, are shouting alleluias. The funeral is off. Take these words into your heart. Put your faith and hope in Jesus. He says, "Stop being afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one, and I died. And now you see I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." He is the Lord who would not bury. Jesus wants to be your Lord. He wants you to give others the surprise of his life. Amen.